line.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of Praise 107.9 or its parent company, Delmarva Educational Association.
Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th verse, and I am reading to the 15th verse. From the King James Version. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Father, we thank you for your engrafted word, which has the ability to continually take us into new levels of salvation. Amen. Amen. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, you know, I am forever talking about putting on the whole armor of God. Didn't say put on a part of it or a piece of it. He said put on all of it. And then even after that particular passage of scripture in verse 15, it goes on in 16 to say, "And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So as I think about the whole armor of God, I think about a warrior being covered in armor from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. When I think about the whole armor of God, and when this passage of scripture talks about having your feet shod, that's where I want to penetrate, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want to let you know that no matter what it looks like, we're going somewhere. No matter what it looks like, we are not standing still in the Spirit. Anything that is not moving has no life, because it's in him that we live and move and have our very own being. How many of you know that when you're stuck, it's almost like a death? Because there is a movement that must take place in prayer. There's a movement that must take place, especially when you start talking about warfare. And I thank God for the 7 years that I spent in the United States Army. I thank God every day. Let me tell you something. I always have to go back to the training and go back to the discipline and go back to the things that the Army taught me about life. I have to go back to the drill sergeants that I hated their guts, but they changed my life. How many of you know some of the things that you hate most is what you need most? I never would have thought those big men with those gallon hats yelling in my face was gonna, what good would that be? But I'm telling you that from basic training throughout every year that I had in the military, it was all about one thing. It didn't matter if it was during war, before war, or after war. There was one thing as a soldier you had to be. One principle that we've got down pretty good in the United States of America. You have to be combat ready. Most of the people in the military never experience war, but they're ready for war. Come on, somebody. And I want to ask you today, for whatever is ahead, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But for whatever is ahead, are you ready? Because if you're not ready, it's time to get ready. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Y'all know that's a hard one. We hear it every day, but we want to look at people. We want to look at places. We want to look at things, and we want to put it on them. But I want to ask you this question. Who are they anyway? There is a battle raging. But that word, preparation, hetoimasia, it means to be in readiness with the firm foundation for the equipping of the saints. It's hard to be ready when you don't have what you need, come on somebody, to do what you have to do. So a key word in readiness, whether it's natural combat readiness or whether it's spiritual readiness, a key word is being equipped. And I'm not pointing my finger at nobody, but I believe that we are lacking in that area, in the body of Christ, because we've gotten so used to people preaching to us and making us happy, or making us shout, or prophesying. And as we get a prophetic word, you know, we get that word and we run out and we wait for it to happen. But I want to tell you that there is greatness ahead. There's all these great things that God is doing. But what are you doing to get prepared? Don't matter if there's a war yet. You can spend your whole military life getting ready for war and leave the military never having fought one. But you know what happens out of that? You are ready for whatever happens. If you can endure a real war, see, I'm telling you, America got a lot of mouth. People talk a lot of noise. But we've never really dealt with any real hard times in America like other countries have. Sometimes you can complain about America and you can talk about this and you can talk about that. But until you've been out of the borders of this country and you see what other people have to deal with on an everyday basis, I'm telling you that if certain things happen in America right now, we would not be ready. A key component of readiness is unity. A key component of readiness is unity. Void of schism, void of whatever is separating, because it's all about the unity of faith. There is a place in the spirit where we agree and have power. I said there is a place in the spirit where the blind eyes will open up. There is a place in the spirit where deaf ears will open. There's a place in the spirit where captives will be set free. There is a place in the spirit where signs, wonders, and miracles will become the norm. And we won't act so surprised when God do something. But are we even ready for revival? There's nothing like having your house in order. There's nothing like having your business straight. Come on, somebody. Because if you got your business straight, and if you got your house in order, and if you got your heart right, you're ready for anything that can come in God. The definition that I have, that I put together for preparation or being ready is that preparation allows planning, construction, composing, and production. Preparation builds. Preparation lays it out. Preparation puts it together. And preparation brings results. Come on, somebody. You're on the road to the promise. You know, when the Bible talks about what does it prosper a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That word prosper means literally to, it literally means to have help on the way. Euodios is the Greek word. You heard me preach euodios. It means to be blessed on the road to the blessing. Come on, somebody. I don't have to get it. I'm already blessed. Y'all ain't going to help me up in here. When you understand that as long as you're on euodios, long as you're on the way, long as you're on the right track, you already need to be praising him. The word of God said, don't wait until you get where you think you not need to be. Shout now, because the battle is already. God say, I never forsake you and I never leave you. Sometimes you just need to step out by faith and do what God is calling you to do, because stepping out gets you ready. Come on, somebody. Faith without work is dead. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So that means we shouldn't be so spiritually concerned about where we're going, but we need to be concerned about the state of our heart. Because if your heart is right, come on, somebody, if you're not wicked, if you're not evil, if you can be put on the track, on the right road of the good man, God will order your steps. And you may slip and you may trip and you may fall down. But a righteous man will fall down 7 times and he'll get up every time. Come on, somebody. There's a whole lot of folk, they think there's power in falling. How many of you know the real power is in getting up? I say the real power is in getting up. Because there's power when people know that you trip, when they know that you slip, when they know that you've fallen. Come on, somebody. And then when they pass by you and see that you have gotten back up, come on, somebody. Because you have on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In one hand I carry the sword of the Spirit, and in the other the shield of faith. No weapons formed against me will prosper, because not only am I dressed right, but I'm speaking mysteries unto God and building up my most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. And some of you shamed of being tongue talkers. But the world is not ashamed of their perversion and their filth. They can flaunt their sin and their nastiness all in front of you. And you ashamed to pray in tongues? Come on, somebody. Why are you praying in tongues? Because I'm going somewhere. Help me, somebody. Because my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, prayers go ahead of what your mind know you even need. Tell me. No, I knew before I even knew. Y'all ain't going to get that right now. But when I was first saved and I came back from the army, just getting out of the military, and one of my sisters, we had an apartment together, and she was on a trip with the police, and I was walking in the apartment, we just moved in, and I was just couldn't stop praying in tongues. People tell, no, I'm just praying in tongues. Couldn't stop praying in tongues. And I'm thinking in my mind, what is happening? Why am I just praying? I wasn't answering no phone. I wasn't doing. When I finished praying for a couple of hours, my sister called me frantic, couldn't hardly breathe. She said that they were in a hotel in South Florida, and that some whatever they were kicked the doors in on the police. The police were there for a convention, some kind of sports activity. These folk, you know, if you tie up the police, you mean danger. You're not planning on leaving any witnesses. They tied them up. They took their money. And all this time while they tying my sister up, I didn't know what my spirit man was praying to the Holy Ghost. But if somebody would have listened to me and said, that's a bunch of rubbish, or she sound like a bunch of foolishness, my spirit man was praying to God and say, God, let her live. Lord, she has not come to know you as Lord and Savior. Send your angels. Let intervention take place. God, my spirit was broshelelebokotarabasata. But in the spirit, it was saying, God, save my sister. Because when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you speak mysteries unto God. It may be an unknown language to man, but heaven opens up. And all of a sudden, when they were tying her hands behind her back, this is the God, the honest truth. One of the bandits said, man, she's so fine. Don't tie her up tight. And they went to the next room, we believe with the intent of coming and killing everybody after they did what they did. But she was able to wiggle out of those ropes. And you can imagine her being terrified. But she happened to get her hand on a cigarette lighter and set the fire alarm off, and the alarm went off, and the bandits ran off. They lost some things, but God spared their life. Why am I saying all of that? I'm saying that when your steps are ordered by the Lord, the devil has his calendar. He has his clock. He has his stopwatch. But how many of you know it's null and void when God's destiny is in your path? When the destiny angel will stand up there and say, no, it's not time for that. That's not going to happen. Come on, somebody. If any of you ever been through something where you know that you know that you know that something should have happened, but it didn't, you better believe you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people, and the destiny angel has gone ahead of you. If it's not the angel that's leading you, it's the one that'll draw the sword. Come on, somebody. That they'll draw a sword and they'll let you by, and your enemy that's following you can't come through because the sword of the Lord has been drawn against your enemies. Doors that'll be open to you will be closed to your enemies. Y'all ain't gonna help me up in here. How many of you need some doors to be open to you, and let the same doors that be open to you be closed to your enemy? Let the same thing that bless you curse your enemy. Come on, somebody. Let the same thing that lift you up pull them down. You can't have my blessing. The Bible says that the wicked, it says that the evil shall not reap the benefits of the righteous. So, because our steps are ordered by the Lord, there is a plan. Say plan. Plan. Oh, come on, you said that mighty weak. Say plan. Plan. God has a plan, and his plan is bigger than you. When I think of the word plan, I think of strategy. Come on, I want you to put these words down, because as you begin to pray for preparation, I want you to use these words. Strategy. Idea. Intent. Target. This is all the ingredients of the plan. Godly ambition. Vision. Program. Recipe, ways and means, ways and means, outline, design, schematic, objective, goals, formulation, map out, forecast, tactic. I'm just letting you know that God is not just going to give you a boom, bam, thank you, ma'am, blessing. Something is not just going to fall out of the sky and hit you on your head. The lines of the Spirit have fallen upon you in sweet and agreeable places, and you have a godly heritage. You have a good heritage. Preparation. Luke 14 and 28 says, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and calculate, account the cost, whether he have sufficiency to finish it?" We're not just a bunch of folk swinging at nothing. How many of you know something is going on? Something is going. You're going somewhere. And when God gives you a vision, the Bible says, write it down. Come on, somebody, and make it plain. The more you can see where you're going. How many of us don't lay out goals and objectives and short-term goals and long-term goals? And I believe that as we're going into 2019, we're just not going, though we walk by sight, faith and not by sight, we're not going into 2019 blind. It's called expectation. Hallelujah. How many of you are expecting some things to happen? And guess what? I'm putting some faith and some work to my expectation. Because if I don't never put the application in, I can't never get the job. Some folk are sitting up waiting on a phone call. Come on, somebody. And you've never made yourself available. God wants to know, are you available? He wants to give you access. Which of you intend to build something? You haven't sat down and prayed about it. You haven't consulted with those who might have done what you're doing. Y'all ain't gonna go with me. With people, come on somebody, that are not just spiritually equipped to help you, but equipped to help you in the natural. You know, there are some folk that believe that once you cast out demons, you don't need no counseling. Come on, saints. Come on, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Okay, you can be delivered all you want to be delivered, but there's a time that you have to sit down and reason with somebody. You have to talk that thing out with somebody. You can't figure this thing out by yourself. And you think because you got the Holy Ghost, nobody can tell you nothing? And I know for a fact that our children need counseling. They need guidance. I know for a fact. The Bible says, if you raise them up in the way that they should go, they will not depart. So what I'm telling you is that you just can't let young people raise themselves up and think they're going to go in the right direction. Are our children ready for life? They won't be ready if we don't put in them what they need to make it in this wicked world. You're going to have to come against the prick. You're going to have to stand for what's right. You're going to have to tell them and teach them the way that they should go so that they will not depart. Don't worry about if they get prodigal. I tell you, if you provide a launching pad wherever they came from in the Holy Ghost, when times get hard, they're going to look at that devil. Come on, somebody. They're going to look at that place and say, in my house, I live much better than this. I slept better in my mama's house. I ate, even the food was better. The atmosphere was better. I'm sick of this music. I'm sick of this foolishness. I'm going back to the place of peace. Because you teach your young people to put on the whole armor of God and allow their feet to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A lot of folk leave spoken word. Over the years, people leave churches and go, because y'all know we don't try to hold nobody down. But one sure sign of an apostolic mantle upon this house is that the children that came through this ministry always find their way back home. Because they know where the power is. They know where the peace is. Come on, somebody. They know where the provision is. They remember the days of Elijah. They remember the days of the miracles. They remember the days of the signs and wonders. They saw people that were demented and out of their mind walk out of this place straight. Y'all ain't helping me up in here. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. The devil don't like it. The devil don't like it. But he might as well get over it. Proverbs 24 and 27, it says, prepare thy work without. Make it work for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you have need of will be given unto you. Sometimes we're so focused on the house that we forgot that the harvest is right in the field, but the laborers are few. God said to me, take care of mine. His is not in your house, and I'll take care of yours. Come on, somebody. You hit the field and I hit your house. Y'all ain't helping me up in here. Listen, God will come through your house like a mighty rushing wind. And you talking about the day of Pentecost, anything that ain't like God. And sometimes stuff get tore up like a Euroclidon. And God is breaking some stuff up so that when everything's settled, ain't nothing going to be left but the will of God. How many of you will pray that prayer and say, God, send your Euroclidon. Send your Euroclidon. Send your Euroclidon wind to my house. God, I'm going to lose some things. I'm going to lose some people. I'm not going to be where folk think I ought to be. But when all is said and done, when the rubber has hit the road, I'm in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. I am in the teleos of God. Luke 21 and 36, we're talking about preparation, church. It says, watch ye therefore. We sometimes so busy praying with our eyes closed, listening for something, and we keep our eyes closed, but God is saying, watch ye therefore. Come on, somebody. You know what watch means? Watch means that you're not just praying for it, you can see it. Come on, somebody. If you can't see it, you can't have it. Watch therefore as well as pray. That means you got to open your eyes. Help me, somebody. It's a time to close your eyes and worship, but it's a time to bind the devil, decree and declare. Come on, somebody. Open your eyes and decree that it's already done. Time for manifestation. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, guess what? There is trouble ahead. Some hard times gonna come. But when you watch and keep on praying, you will qualify to escape before Daniel ever made it out of the lion's den. Come on, somebody. Huh. They told him don't pray, but he opened the shutters. Come on, somebody. All prayer ain't in secret. Sometimes you got to decree and declare things so that when God bless you, them devils will know. Everything ain't done. Listen, I bind them devils that say we always got to pray in our closet. How about the Christians are coming out the closet? Everybody coming out the closet but the church. After you've done all to stand some more. After you done prayed in your closet, come out your closet and watch as well as pray. What are you watching for? I'm watching for God to show up and show out on my behalf. He's going to manifest his glory in my life, manifest his miracles in my life. And I'm so busy watching the blessing that I bind the backlash, the revenge, and the retaliation of the enemy. I'm tired of watching my back. I'm tired of ghosting. I did enough of that in the crack house. Come on, somebody. Looking through the window, trying to see who there. This is not the day to ghost. This is not the day to hide out and hope. This is the time to come out your closet and decree and declare that the blessings of the Lord, they are yea and amen. Watch ye therefore. Pray always that you may be worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass. That means there are some things that's going to come to pass that you prayed against. There's some things that's going to come to pass that you thought shouldn't happen. But the reason why God allowed them to happen, because he's making a way out of no way. Come on, somebody. He's strengthening you to let you know that he is God. He wants you to know there is a heaven and there is a hell. And everything that happens between that is up to you. Are you ready? Procrastination, preparation, power. Because when you stop putting things on hold, come on, somebody. And when you get in place to get ready, how many of you know that you're in the place of power? Proverbs 6, when I was teaching on procrastination, I touched on this a little bit, but I want to hit it a little bit harder. Proverbs 6:6-8, in your free time, it said, go you sluggard to the ant. Go you sluggard to the ant. God like to talk about them ants. He says, consider her ways. Notice he talk about the ant in the person of a female, and be wise. How many of you know wisdom is in the persona or personality referred to as a woman? Mm-hmm. Don't make us ladies no better than men, but God just say wisdom, come on somebody, is a she, not a he. Mm-hmm. And so this says, go, you slugger, you sloth, you person that's laying around, can't do nothing, can't get nothing done, and blaming God. Like your prayer ain't working? No, your prayer working, you ain't working. The Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat. Y'all ain't gonna go with me up in here. See, that's the kind of message we need to get to the multitude. Get up, you sluggard. Go to the ant and consider her ways and be wise like she is. Listen what God say about the ant. Well, I ain't got nobody. Take up your bed and walk. Say the ant having no guide, no overseer, no ruler, no church, no class. Come on, somebody. The ant ain't even reading the Bible. But it's something in the ant where meat is provided in the summer, and the ant has the understanding and the ability to gather her food in the harvest. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. It ain't about the harvest, it's about the laborers. Folk don't want to work. God said, take care of the field, and I'll take care of your house. Verse 9 through 11 of the same passage of scripture say, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? You think God trying to hurt somebody? I believe he's trying to help somebody. Every now and then, if somebody say something to you, hey, look, you need to read Luke 21:9. How long you will lie there, you slugger? Oh, you trying to hurt me? No, I'm trying to help you. Because if you lay there, you're going to die. Get up. Come on, somebody. You waiting. Help me, somebody. For the water to trouble. I've been troubling the water for the past 15 years in your life. And you're still laying there making excuses. But don't you let the anointing pass you by in this hour. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come to you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. In other words, poverty and scarcity gonna jack you. People been jacked by lack. Proverbs 22:3. You know, if you're talking about preparation, you got to put some word in it. Proverbs 22:3 talks about a prudent man. He foresee the evil and hided himself. Come on, some prudent. A prudent man can see stuff before it happened and avoid it. But the simple pass on and are punished. Say prudence. Say a prudent man. The word prudent means acting with or showing thought for the future. Ask God to anoint us with prudence. To get under the spout where the glory comes out, where we can be called prudent men and prudent women. Come on, somebody. How many of you know the anointing is prudent? It will allow you to see things. Oh, y'all ain't gonna go with me. I remember, and I like to tell stories because we got folk out there that don't know the scriptures and they have to hear a story so I can get them to the word. Is that all right? Oh, it ain't time to go to the store tonight. Let me go home. That's prudence. Come on, somebody. That is prudence. I don't care what you say about me. Listen, I hate profiling, but it's a time to save yourself. It's time to recognize stuff for what it is and get yourself out of danger. Yeah, a prudent man. Come on, somebody. A prudent man can foresee evil. And the Bible say, and hide himself, I'm saying, and get up out of Dodge. Is that my interpretation? That's the Kim Dane's interpretation. It say, but the simple will pass on and just walk by and be punished. I remember I was walking with a family member. That's what I'm going to call him. A family member walking down, getting ready to go to, walking in the gate of a game at the University of Florida. I'm telling you, that prudence be working. Come on, put your hand on your bed and say, God, I thank you for prudence. Prudence, discernment, and anointing. Prudence, discernment, and anointing. A prudent man will foresee evil. That's talking about discernment. Baby, I walk in that prudence. I pray everybody listen to me and understand. Prudence! It'll foresee evil. How about that? Let me tell you about love. I just like this thing about this prudence. I'm really talking about discernment. Prudent means acting with or showing thought for what's ahead of you. That's just an example, one type of spirit. Say spiritual prudence. But there are some things that we must be prudent in the natural. Acting or showing concern or thought for what is ahead of you, what is in your future. It says that a prudent man will foresee evil and hide himself, but the simple, say simple. The simple pass on and are punished. That word simple means having no judgment. You can be simply immature, simply inexperienced, simply gullible, simply careless, simply susceptible, and simply thoughtless. You know, it's like, so what are you talking about? See, when you talk about simple, let me give you something. Let me get something that the children can relate to. Hakuna Matata. Okay, just lay around and have no worries. Let me think of something else. Simple, happy-go-lucky. You know, as believers, we don't believe in luck. Either you're blessed or you're cursed. Good luck. Not for me, baby. I'm blessed. That luck means it haphazardly. You know, I know chance happens to everybody and things can happen and not happen. But I happen to hold on to the promise of the blessing and I renounce luck. Y'all know what luck mean? Luck mean it can happen or it can't happen. But I hold on to the blessings of the Lord. Luck is not a blessing. And another one of them, any way the wind blows, it's cool with me. Que sera, sera. Y'all know I'm talking about simple people. Sometimes, you know, I like plain folk, but it's a sin to be spiritually simple. Come on, put your hand on your heart. Say, God, deliver me from being spiritually simple. This message is going to bless somebody. You better take you some notes and get you some more scriptures and make you a prayer out of this. Write a book off of it. To be prudent means to be wise. It means to be well-judged, to be sensible, judicious, able to make the right decisions, the right choices. How many of you know the wrong choices have people in trouble right now? Judicious. Making the right choices, making the right decisions, to be shrewd, well-advised, cautious. Listen, far-sighted. Some folk are spiritually nearsighted. They can't see down the road. But we need to be able to see down the road. How can you have faith if you can only see where you are right now? You know, there's some of you going through something in your family, and if all you can see is right where you at, that's a problem. Come on, you need some spiritual farsightedness. Listen, I can see. Listen, I'm telling you, it's prophetic. You have to be farsighted. You have to be able to say, and I'm telling you, you have to be able to say, About this time tomorrow. Yeah, we're going through a famine right now. We're going through some things. But about this time tomorrow. You know, Proverbs 16, verse 1 through 3. It says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So no matter what you do, your heart must be prepared. See, the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The preparation of the heart is from the Lord. But you have to be ready to allow God to prepare your heart. You know, a lot of times we tell people visions, we give people words before their heart is prepared to receive it. You know, there's nothing like a word in due season. A timely word. An accurate word is a word not just accurate, but it's in season. It's in time. God has prepared the heart of the man. And then when the heart of man comes in agreement with the answer of the tongue, how many of you know we'll be able to move on to where God has us in the vision that he has us in? And it says that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Boy, you write that one down. But the Lord weigheth the spirit. You know your mind can make you think that everything you do is right. Because the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's why we need an extra set of eyes on our situation. That's why we need counsel out of the mouth of two or three witnesses in the counsel. Come on, somebody. In the presence of godly counsel, there is safety. Because the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigh the spirit. Who can weigh their spirit? Who the Bible talks about the unpardonable sin, the secrets of the heart in Psalms, the 19th chapter. Who can know their own heart? Jeremiah said, who knows their own heart? It says, commit, I'm still in Proverbs 6, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Listen, if you commit what you're doing to God, then what's on your mind will be right. If we commit our work, we got to ask God, why do we do what we do? Because your motives got to be right. We don't do things just to be seen. Some folk want to be preachers. They want to be prophets. They want to be whatever, just to be that. This is the wrong job to build a platform just to be seen. Because I'm telling you, destruction will come quickly. The ground will open and swallow you up. You know, this, you got to be sensitive to the real calling. There's a calling higher than your what people think about you, or being popular. Or your there's a calling that's higher than your reputation. And if you ain't willing to lose some of that, you can't be with Christ. Sometimes you got to become a reproach. Because if they first hated him, you think, what do you think when the world has nothing but good things? I'm scared of people that the world has all great things to say about them. You better look at who the world coming against and get on their side. Oh, y'all ain't gonna hear me up in here. If you want to know about prudence, just watch who the world hates and step back. Come on, somebody. Watch who the world hate. And if they hate you, you better start praising God, because they first hated your Jesus. We ain't got to be boiling oil. We ain't got to be put up on a cross and crucified. We don't have to be hung upside down. Come on, somebody. We can't take a little persecution. I'm glad that y'all ain't got to pray all night and get me out of prison. Come on, y'all mighty quiet. But that's the apostolic anointing, to be persecuted. If you stand for right, wrong gonna come up against you. I say, if you're standing for right, wrong gonna always. Paul said it. When I wanted to do right, evil was always present. How you know you're on the right track? Because the devil is fighting you every step of the way. I say, when you're doing the devil. Now, I'm not saying, now let me get this straight and give some balance. I'm not talking about folk that just going through warfare all the time. And every time, pray my strength in the Lord. Well, listen, let the weak say I am strong. Every time I see you, you need a prayer. You need some power. You don't need prayer. Greater is he that's in you, not your pastor, not your church, but the greatest thing you have is the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. I'm not saying that we can't touch and agree. I'm not saying we can't counsel, we can't intercede, we can't stand in the gap and get on the wall. But what I am saying is that where is your power? Luke 12 and 47 says, and that servant, here we go, that and saying that servant. Now say it like you mean it. And that servant. Now, which servant are we talking about? It says, and that servant in Luke 12 and 47, which knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Say it again. And that servant, when you know the Lord's will and you don't prepare yourself and you do it not, you will be beaten with many stripes. There is a repercussion. Get from before me, you worker of iniquity. Does that mean homosexual, prostitute? That don't mean worker of iniquity means those of you who knew to do right and did wrong. Those of you who knew, heard the calling and said out your mouth, God called me but my husband. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't gonna hear me right now. God called me but my children. God called me but my salary. God called me, but my family. Y'all ain't gonna hear me. We getting rid of all the buts today. Because your butt gonna be spanked with many stripes. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to be prepared. It's time to get ready. Can I tell you the best kind of preparation in God? OJT. On the job training. How do you learn how to pray? By praying. How do you learn how to prophesy? By prophesying. How do you learn how to preach? By preaching. Now, I know there's some preparation, there's some study, but if you don't ever do it, listen, ain't nothing to it but to do it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. And that servant. And Proverbs 21 and 31 says that the horse, and you know a horse is known to be strong and fast. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. What does that mean? Some men depend on horses and chariots. The horse is prepared for the day of battle. That means whatever your strength is in, it ain't better than God. Whatever your strongest point is, it ain't nothing to God. Because safety is only in the Lord. You can have horses and chariots. You can have resources and television programs and people galore. But safety is in and of the Lord. See, Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed. But let people say, oh, you know, child, what you don't know. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. What you don't know won't hurt you. Why? I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And I say that Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people, now you must not belong to God. Now, for those who don't belong to God, what you don't know, it worked for you. But God say, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of faith. In other words, you got to know the word for yourself. We're living in a day and time where they got some word mongers. Word smiths. Some smooth talkers. And some smooth operators. It sound like God. It look like God. Come on, somebody. It seemed like God. You got to study to show yourself approved so that you won't be ashamed, so that you can know the word for you. I don't care if your pastor walk on water and float in the air. You got to know Jesus for yourself, and you got to study the word. Some folk, they only pick up their Bibles when they come to church. The only way the word of God is going to pick you up is you got to pick that Bible up. And I firmly believe that we can't just depend on the internet. You better keep you some hard Bibles. because they can pass a law at any time. I ain't saying this happening now in our time, but it's going to be a time it's going to happen. That you ain't going to be able to get a sure word. Come on, somebody. You got your Bible on the electronic. You better keep one on paper in your house. I prophesy that by the Spirit of God. Daniel 11 and 32 says that the people that do know their God shall do great exploits. So that means that knowing God, there's a benefit in knowing God. When you know God, you do great things. You know why? Because you know it ain't you. When you step in somewhere, you know your God, and people tell you what you can't do. Yeah, baby, you may be right about what I can't do, but I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me, because I know my God. I hear you saying that stuff out your mouth. But the problem is, and the reason why you don't understand where I'm coming from, because I know my God and you don't know him. So are you ready? If you leave here today, I plead the blood of Jesus over everybody, and I believe that we all have long life and prosperous life, a long life. But I ask you this question. If you leave here today, or if Jesus come back, are you ready? Everybody getting ready for the business. Everybody getting ready for the new marriage. Everybody getting ready. Listen, we're getting ready to move in our new house. We're getting ready. Come on, somebody, for the new business. We're getting ready for this. But are you ready for the Lord? Romans 13 and 11 say, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Knowing the time, sons of Issachar. Go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew 24. And this is my last scripture. Matthew 24. How many of y'all ready to get ready? Hallelujah. I can't go to hell. Them demons will torment me 24/7. How many of y'all ready to get ready? You got to have it made up. Your mind. Hell is not my portion. I done bind up too many devils. Come on, somebody. I done laid hands on too many folk. I prophesied. Y'all looking at me, but folk go to hell from the pews. I would not be one. I don't believe once saved, always saved. I believe that if it were possible, even the righteous would barely make it. I believe that while we on that yodios, the road to the promise, that we got to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. I still believe in holiness. I don't care how much our technological and how new we get. Nothing gets too new for holiness. It's not a look, it's a lifestyle. Help me, somebody. It's a place in the spirit where you are in your heart. Because you got it right with him. You got to have it right with him. You got to have it right with other people. Oh, I got it right with God. But do you walk in unforgiveness? Do you have any bitterness, any resentment? You got it right with God, but do you have it right? Are you ready? Let folk go. I believe in heaven and I believe in hell. And I believe there's a special place in hell for people who know to do right and don't do it. Who is that? Christians. You said no. I'm not saying that people. I'm saying backslidden folk who just continue to defy God and disobey him, and it don't matter about your position. It's time to have your heart right, to be prepared. If you can't forgive, God cannot forgive you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Even your worst enemies, as much as it hurt, you gotta love them. I ain't gotta like you at all. But I gotta show agape, unconditional love. That the more you hate me, something on the inside of me make me really love you. I don't want to be with you. I don't want to hang around you. I don't even want to look at you, to tell you the truth. But something on the inside of me, that if you really fell down hard and I saw you on the side of the road, help me somebody, I'm not going to look at you and say, oh, I got you now, baby. Uh-huh, you remember what you did. Oh, you finna die and I be dancing on your grave. No, sometime God will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies so that you can feed them when they are hungry. Now, how you like that? The devil wants you to hate because he is a hater. He don't hate black people. He don't hate white people. He don't hate denominations or political affiliations. He hate God's creation. He hate the fact that you were made in the image of God. He hate the fact that you got another chance and he didn't. Y'all ain't hearing me up in here. He hate that he is a defeated foe. He's under your feet. And God, come on somebody, has made the devil your footstool. Every time you go to another level, you got to step on a devil to get there. Matthew 24, verse 42 through 44, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, "Watch, therefore, give strict attention, be cautious and active, for you do not know in what kind of a day, whether a near or remote one, your Lord is coming. But understand this, had the householder known in what part of the night, whether in a night or a morning watch, the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be undermined and broken into. You also must be ready, therefore, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect him to come." So what, Jesus, when you gonna come? Listen, I'm telling you, God wants us to be busy about his business. And when he come, he's coming like a thief in the night with a twinkling of the eye, coming like somebody stole something. And there will be people that he'll come and they still ain't gonna admit that he's came. So guess what you got to do? You got to be ready. It's all about being ready. It's don't let the TV fool you. Don't let these music videos fool your children. They're getting all caught up and think, oh, it's so boring serving God. No, I tell you what's boring, hell. It's boring and it's hurting and it's all of that. We don't hear about it enough. We need to be reminded that absent from the body, present with the Lord, are some folk going to die and lift their eyes up in hell? You cannot delete that out of the spirit realm. Are you ready? I pray that there's somebody listening right now. Say, God, I need to get my life right. There are no perfect people. I'm not preaching a perfect gospel. But I'm talking about the perfecting of the saints. Because we're prepared and we're equipped. Not just as a church, but equipped as individuals. Equipped as God's people. Matthew 24, 42 through 44. I just read that now. The last scripture is Matthew 24 and 13. And this is all she wrote. And it's in red. Matthew 24, 13. Okay. I'm going to read 24, 7 through 13. "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he..."
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Or you can be her friend on Facebook by logging in at State Representative Kimberly Daniels. Don't forget to like and follow. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.